Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at how experiencing intimacy with God through worship leads to receiving a harvest of souls, which means many people being born again, coming into a relationship with Christ. I've also been making the correlation between the intimacy we experience with God that is experienced in worship and the intimacy that a husband and wife experience through the physical sexual union between the two. On a spiritual level, the deepest manner in which we can experience intimacy with God is through worship. You know, we entered into that intimate place this morning, amen? When we're singing holy, you just sense the stillness of being in His presence. And on a human level, the deepest manner in which intimacy can be experienced is through the sexual union of a husband and wife. Most recently, we focused on how entering into the intimate place of worship of God is when He then makes Himself known to us and He sows His word into our heart. When we're in that place of worship, that's when we can know God at the most intimate level. And it's when He wants to sow His word. He wants to communicate His word to us. Likewise, in the context of the husband and wife relationship, the place of sexual union is when the husband and wife know one another at a level they know no other human being. At least that's the way God designed it. And it's the place where the seed of the husband is sown into his wife. The correlation that I made between the spiritual and the natural was that when God sows his word into a person's heart in worship, it always enters their heart in seed form. We saw this with the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. Obviously, I can't go back and work through all those details. So we do put our messages online. If you didn't hear that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to those messages. But when the seed of God's word is sown into a person's heart, there's various things that can happen to that seed. It can either be stolen away. It can fail to take root in their heart. So in the time of testing, they fall away from what they heard. It can take root in the person's heart but be choked out. Or it can take root in a person's heart, and through persevering in faith, that person can see fruit produced in their life. Whether or not a person receives and retains the seed of God's word in their heart depends on what kind of heart soil they have personally. Their heart can be hard, like a well-walked-on path. It can be shallow, like rocky soil. It can have thorns and thistles that choke out the word and keeps their faith from growing. Or their heart can be good soil that produces a crop. 2 weeks ago, we focused on the last two types of soil. In both of these kinds of hearts, if you will, God's word is received and faith is conceived, which means our heart becomes pregnant with God's word. It takes root. However, in the heart that was described as having thorns and thistles, the word of God was choked out by life's worries and riches and pleasures. And therefore, the person's faith did not grow, and they were unable to produce fruit. On the other hand, the heart that was described as good soil was a noble and good heart that heard the word and retained it. And by persevering in the word, the person produced a crop in keeping with the word that was sown. As we looked at these two different kinds of hearts, I shared how we can often succumb to the worries and riches and pleasures of this world, and how those riches and pleasures and worries can literally choke out God's word from our heart and keep faith from growing so that fruit is produced. However, if we will uproot those things from our heart and persevere in God's word, His word will produce fruit in our heart and life. And the way we persevere in God's word is by persistently confessing with our mouth God's written word, as well as the words the Holy Spirit has sown in our heart that are consistent with God's written word. We must make both verbal confessions of that word whenever doubt or unbelief or fear or anxiety or anything else that contradicts that word enters our mind and our emotions. And we must continue to confess that word again and again until our faith grows and becomes mature and we believe with our whole heart what God has said. It's then that we can experience the fruit of that word and see it produced in our life. Now, if you recall, I mentioned in the last message that the process of receiving and persevering God's word, persevering in God's word, I should say, so that it produces fruit in our life is foundational to receiving anything else from God. Let me say that again. I mentioned that the process of receiving God's word and then persevering in God's word through regular confession so that it produces fruit in our life is foundational for receiving anything else from God. And that's because that's what we focused on in the last message. That's as far as we went. But what I want to focus on this morning is the different parts of that same process and how they also apply to experiencing two other things in addition to seeing godly fruit produced in our life. I want us to see how this process applies to also receiving God's promises or seeing them manifested in our life. And then I want to look at how this process also applies to seeing the gifts of the Spirit manifested through us on behalf of other people so that they receive supernatural blessings from God. And lastly, if time does permit, we'll see, I want to look at the kinds of actions we can take to manifest God's promises and the gifts of the Spirit when mature faith is present in our heart. And then next week, if I don't get to that last part, we'll move it on to the following week. But I also want to preach one final message in this series before we enter into the holidays. It actually won't be next week. It'll be 2 weeks because Pastor Frank will be here next week. But I want to look at how the fruit that is produced in our lives and the manifestation of God's promises in our lives and the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in other people's lives through us applies to getting ready for a harvest of souls in God's family. Because that's really the foundation of what this is all about. If we just make it about us, then we become very inward focused and we don't really set our eyes upon God and God's plans and God's desires and the mission that He's called us to fulfill. And so this really has to always come back to God's heart, God's worth, God's mission. All right? So when it comes to seeing godly fruit produced in our life or seeing a promise of God manifested in our life or seeing a gift of the Holy Spirit manifested through our life for someone else, each of these manifestations begin the same way. They all begin by hearing a word from God. Romans 10:17, we've looked at this verse a number of times in this series. That verse applies to each of these kinds of circumstances. Let's look at it one more time, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And so for faith to be ignited in our heart, it comes from hearing a word from God. And again, in another message, I talked about the various ways that we can hear a word from God. It's not an audible sound, not that it can't be, but it's rare that someone hears the literal audible voice of God. So the Spirit of God is speaking to us within our, with our own spirit and within our heart. And that can happen through a picture in the mind, an open vision, literally an impression of the Spirit giving us a word that is confirmed through the written word. There's various ways that we can hear a word from the Lord. And this is why intimacy with God through worship is so important. As I've mentioned before, intimate worship includes prayer and abiding in God's word. It's not just singing songs, amen? I mean, what we did when we're, whether you know it or not, you're really, we're singing praise, we're singing worship, but it's really a prayer in song. That's, we're expressing our heart to God in that worship. And as we spend time in intimate worship with God, He sows or He imparts His word into our hearts. It's in that place of intimacy that that happens. And when we hear and we receive and we retain His word in our heart, it is then that faith is conceived in our heart, because we've heard the word and faith comes by hearing. Amen? It's at this point in the process where I need to share one difference that exists between the faith that comes into our heart through a word from God that enables us to see godly fruit produced in our life or a promise of God manifested in our life versus the faith that comes into our heart through the word of through a word from God that enables us to operate in a gift of the Spirit. Now that you're like, what? That may seem like a lot right there. I'm going to break that down. All right? When we receive and we retain a word in our heart from the Holy Spirit or the written word of God, and the nature of that word is to produce godly fruit in our life, which we talked about last week, or the nature of that word is to manifest a promise from God that has either been given by the Holy Spirit or has been or exists in His written word. When we receive that word for those purposes, faith will only be conceived in our heart. I want to emphasize that, all right? When it's for the purpose of fruit being developed in our life or a promise from God, the word that comes will only conceive faith in our heart. It will still need to grow into maturity before it will produce that fruit or manifest that promise. All right? It's important that you get a hold of this. Are you understanding what I'm just sharing? Because I want to make sure that that makes sense. All right? Because that's an important principle that we need to understand. On the other hand, when we receive and retain a word in our heart from the Holy Spirit, and the nature of that word is to manifest a gift of the Holy Spirit, faith is received in our heart in full maturity. It's not just conceived in our heart. Okay? And that's because it already has the ability to produce the manifestation of that gift. So we're talking the difference between conception, again, now go back to the husband and wife relationship so this makes sense. If a child is conceived in the womb, it's going to take 9 months of development before the fruit of the womb is birthed. Amen? But with a gift of the Spirit, what is imparted into our heart is the full mature, if you will, promise. Or not promise, the gift, I should say. And so because faith is mature, that gift can be manifested in a moment. Whereas the word that comes for fruit in our life or a promise, we are going to have to continue to grow our faith through confession, and it's going to have to grow over a season of time before it will be mature and we can declare with our mouth what we believe, because our faith has now become mature and we can then experience that fruit being developed in our life, or we receive a promise for God. And I shared last week in terms of the fruit that can be born in our life, how when I was young in my faith, I struggled with believing that God loved me. And God challenged me to get into His Word and find where it says He loves me, and that I needed to continue to declare that word again and again and again and again, which I did. And there was, and many times I was saying it, but I wasn't necessarily feeling it in my heart. But as I continued to do that over time, that my faith was growing. Your faith is in your heart. Amen. And over time, there was a day that came when there was this realization, I actually believe God loves me. Amen? So we have to continue in order. The fruit or a promise is conceived in faith, and we have to grow our faith until it is realized. With a gift of the Spirit, faith comes in full maturity. And if you will act upon the word that God gave you related to a gift of the Spirit, that gift will manifest and produce whatever it is that God wanted in a person's life. Does this make sense now? The difference. Laura? Well, a gift of the Spirit is going to be something that you're going to have the faith there. Okay, it's going to be deposited. It's going to be there. The challenge is that the enemy is going to come around the back door and try to bring fear or doubt or confusion or intimidation. I mean, he has so many different tactics so that you don't go and minister. Okay, now, here's another aspect that goes with a gift of the Spirit that doesn't apply to the fruit in our life or a promise of God. The fruit of a godly fruit being born in our life or a promise is something that we receive for ourselves. Does that make sense? A gift of the Spirit is not for us, even though it's imparted into us. It's for someone else. We're just simply the vessel through which the gift flows through to another person. Okay? And I want to take you, I've got a couple passages in my notes here that show us that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Okay? So we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. If you go and you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you will see that we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's just like there's nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. All gifts are supernatural, but these are literally manifested in a moment's time through the Holy Spirit according to the will of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can generate on our own. It's something that as we're ministering with someone, or we may be going about our day and the Holy Spirit may drop a word in our heart that's related to one of those gifts of the Holy Spirit and wants us now to be the vessel through which He ministers that gift to that person. And so that's one of the ways we can know. Is this something for me? Or is this something for someone else? Because you can't receive godly fruit and you can't receive a promise for somebody else. You can only do that for yourself. But you can receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the reasons why I think it takes a little time. I think God's designed it this way, that it takes a little time to receive something for ourselves through faith versus how quickly we can be a vessel that God gives something to someone else. And think about, here's another way that you can think about the difference. Think about natural fruit, all right? Obviously, it takes time for fruit to grow on a tree. And it's after you go through the season of waiting that you can, at harvest time, receive the fruit, okay? But think about receiving a gift. A gift isn't something you have to work for, so it doesn't take you time. Now, it takes somebody else time to work for the means to give you the gift, but you can receive a gift in a moment. But in order to receive fruit, it comes through a season of time, of development. And so that's one of the ways that you can also discern the difference between receiving fruit in our life or a promise from God versus a gift of the Holy Spirit is whether it's fruit or a promise for us, which takes time, or it's a gift for someone else, which can happen quickly and does happen quickly, quite frankly. Because if we don't act upon that word and that faith that the Holy Spirit drops in our heart, then the opportunity for that person to receive that gift is missed. And unfortunately, that happens more often than we would like to think in the church. I believe there's probably every week the Spirit of God is dropping things in people's hearts. They don't even realize it. They don't recognize it, because part of our growth process is learning to discern and hear what the Spirit is saying. And we're so used to how things work in the natural, we tend to be just kind of focused there. And we've got to grow and learn how to be more sensitive to how God communicates in the spiritual realm, so that we can be ready to be able to respond through the gifts of the Spirit to minister to other people. Okay? I believe at times, though, as a person grows in their faith, have you noticed this, all of you, that how many of you, when you first came to Christ, it was like, man, you could just, you know, receive something from God, and it seems so quick. And then as you grew in your faith, it was like, how come things don't seem to come quite as easy later on as they did when I was first saved? Well, it's kind of like Daddy saying, grow up. Daddy saying, I'm just not going to feed you the bottle. You got to learn to go to the Word and feed yourself. You've got to grow up. And if I just keep making everything easy for you, you know, what happens to kids who always have everything given to them, right? We live in a culture of entitlement, where kids are spoiled. They don't have to work for something, and they grow up expecting that they don't have to work for something. And even when some of them are 30 years old, they're still saying, Dad and Mom, take care of me. Right? Now, we can't spread that too far across the board. But we see way too much of that in the culture in which we live today. Amen? And so, guess what? Father, God, is a good, good Father. And He's not going to let us do that. He's going to say, I gave you some gifts. And not that He still doesn't do that from time to time. But there are times where He says, I've given you my word. I've given you my promises. I've given you my spirit. Now you've got to believe what you hear, and you've got to continue to stand on that word. You've got to continue to confess that word so that it grows in your heart and you grow up in order to receive the promise or the fruit in your life that Father God wants to give you. It's about maturity. And so the way the gifts of the Spirit work is this. The Holy Spirit sows a word into our heart that comes with a supernatural impartation of faith and anointing. All right? That anointing could be a vocal gift, which is three of the gifts of the Spirit. It could be tongues. It could be interpretation, or the combination of both. Or it can be prophecy. All right? That anointing can also come in the form of a gift of revelation, which is three of the other gifts of the Spirit, which are called a word of knowledge, which is some information that the Spirit of God makes known to you about a particular situation or a person that you could not know other than it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. This is what happened with Jesus when he was meeting with a woman at the well. Remember, he said to her, he said, go get your husband. And she says, I have no husband. And he said, what you say is quite right, because you have had five husbands, and the man you're with right now is not your husband. Now, he had never met this woman in his life. How could he have known that specific of information? It's because the word of knowledge was in operation. And this was not to tear her down. It was to get her attention. Because what did she say? Well, sir, I see that you're a prophet. You know, because you couldn't know this any other way. And so that's the word of knowledge. Then there's the word of wisdom, which is supernatural understanding about how to deal with a particular situation that you might have no understanding. You're in way over your head. And it's like, but God gives you the ability to have supernatural wisdom to know how to deal with that. Have you ever been in that situation? I've ministered with people, and it's like, Lord, I don't have a clue. And inevitably, it's like he gives you what you need to walk with them to experience healing or to experience victory or to go to the next place that God wants to take them. And then there's the final revelation gift, which is discerning of spirits, which could be a demonic spirit, it could be an angelic spirit, it could even be what's going on in the spirit of a person. God gives you a discerning so that there is a revelation or a knowing of what spirit is in operation in a particular situation. How many think this is supernatural? Amen? And trust me, if you get that, it's going to come with full measure of faith. You ain't going to be able to grow into something like that. Right? It's going to be there or it's not going to be there. Okay? And then when it's there, it's for the purpose of, again, edifying, encouraging, or comforting someone else. Okay? And then finally, there's the anointing that is a gift of power, which is either a manifestation of healing or the working of a miracle or an impartation of faith that gives you the ability to receive something that will benefit others. I never fully understood that gift of faith thing until I had actually read it. Kenneth Copeland Sr. has written, actually Judy kind of turned me to his book on the gifts of the Spirit. But a gift of faith is the ability to supernaturally be able to receive something yourself that will actually be a benefit to others. Now, how does that work? This is how it worked for me. When we came into the place where we found out when we were at the bank, when we started our church 10 years ago, we were meeting in the Main Street Savings Bank, which was the top, I call it the Taj Mahal before it was tore down and Commercial Bank was built there. We were in that building and they informed us, fortunately after we'd found out that we secured this building, that we weren't going to have a place to worship anymore at that site. But before that, we had begun to pray about where God would have us be as a church. And we were aware of this particular piece of property. And one night, the church that owned this building, the Free Methodist Church that owned this building originally, called me and said, hey, we've had another group in the community inquire about buying the church, and we had already inquired of it before, but we were, you know, we were a year and a half old as a church, and it wasn't like we were, you know, had a whole lot of people. So, you know, how do you come up with money to buy something like that, right? And so, but we had at least inquired of it because we knew where we wanted to eventually get. We didn't want to be in the bank forever. And so he called me one night and said, another group has inquired of the property. We just wanted to let you know in case you might want to put some kind of a bid on the property as well. And they wouldn't tell us any other person's bids. They just wanted to make us known that it was happening. So I called our Pastor Keith Tusey, who is our senior presbyter or overseer, if that word is unfamiliar to you. And I told him about where we were at, what was happening. He says, well, have you talked to the people about it? Have you already started, you know, trying to raise any kind of money for down payment or any of that kind of thing? Nothing. And we hadn't done any of that. And he said, well, it looks like you're just going to have to let it go then. And my heart sank because this was like, at the time, this was like the only option that I even knew existed, you know, as far as a facility. And so that night when I went to bed, you know, it was heavy on my heart. I woke up the next morning and I've never experienced anything like it, but God dropped a gift of faith in my heart, because I'm telling you, there was just like this something you can't describe. But I mean, it was like I started thinking we could do this and we could do this and we could do this, and if we did this and this is where we're at. And I mean, it was like things that seemed impossible the night before were like, whoa, we could do this thing, you know. And so I called Jason, and it was a Friday morning. Jason and I met on Friday mornings at the time. I said, bring the computer. I want to see where we're at financially right now as a church. I want to see what we can do. And so, long story short, I mean, I called Pastor Keith the next day after he had basically told me I don't think it could happen. And I just started describing him, you know, we could do this, and this is where we're at. What do we need to do to see this? And he told me after the conversation, he says, I would not have encouraged you to pursue that, but he says, I could hear the faith in your voice. And of course, to receive that gift of faith was not just for me. It was for the sake of this body and what God wanted to do in the future. Amen? So that's how a gift of faith, at least in my experience, has worked on that one occasion. I can't say as I've ever had another experience quite like that one. But it was so interesting because that had already happened with us as a church. And when I started reading the description of what a gift of faith was in those materials, I'm like going, I know what that is. All right. So let's see where we're at here. All right. I want to get through this next part, and then I'm going to leave off the last part that I told you. We're just not going to have time for it today. But as I've described the gift of the Spirit, as we go back to the idea of receiving godly fruit in our life or a promise of God, I want to talk just a little bit more about what we can do to see our faith grow from conception to maturity. And the reason I want to do this is today is because if I don't keep it together, it won't make as much sense next week. Okay? And so, the way that we can, excuse me, let me back up. I also want to look at how we can grow our faith through both a word given directly by the Holy Spirit and or God's written word. Okay? Now, first of all, I want to show the principles that God has given us in His word, that if we will believe these principles and apply them to growing our faith, we will indeed see godly fruit produced in our life, and we will see God's promises manifested in our life. Okay? This is a guarantee, whether you know it or not, in God's word. Okay? In Romans 12, 1 through 2, really is the passage that relates to seeing fruit, godly fruit produced in our life. These are not unfamiliar passages to most of us. Romans 12, 1 through 2 that says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So we've been talking about receiving a word in the midst of worship. Amen? So then we go to verse 2. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." Here it is. "But be transformed." How many know if you're transformed, some kind of fruit is being produced in your life? And here's the way that you are transformed: by renewing your mind. How do you renew your mind? But by the Word of God, in order to see the fruit of God produced in your life, right? And so if we will renew our mind with the Word of God, we will be transformed. It says, "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And so, the way that we see godly fruit produced in our life is either the Holy Spirit imparts something into our heart, because this is an area where God wants growth to occur in our life, or we may have some area in our life where we realize we've got an issue. Maybe we've got a temper problem. Maybe there's a lust problem. Maybe there's an addiction problem. So we are already aware of it, okay? Well, it's that point in time where we have to go to the Word of God about what it says about any one of those different things. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a negative issue in our life. Maybe there's something that I don't know how to handle finances very well. Okay, so it's not a sin issue. It's just I'm not very good at this. Well, what or I don't know understand much about. What do you do to understand how to grow in that area? Go to the Word of God. Renew your mind with what it says about whatever issue that is. And as you continue to meditate on that word and you begin to declare and confess that word, guess what? That knowledge and that faith will grow. It'll increase into our heart to the place where we're not going to be bad at finances anymore if we do it God's way. Or we're going to overcome some addiction or some issue that exists in our life. Does it make sense? So that's how we do that, through the renewing our mind. And then when it comes to God's promises, here's the guarantee we receive in 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, "For no matter how many promises God has made," how many know God's made a lot of promises, right? "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." Is that not good news? You need healing? You need victory? You need freedom? You need to overcome? You need to know how to, you know, what God says about a relationship? Every promise that God has in His Word is yes in Christ. And then here's our part. "And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Notice it says, is spoken by us to the glory of God. You got to confess the promise. You got to. That's why we sing songs about standing on the promises. Judy has us sing that song on various occasions, on the supernatural. And she'll often exhort us, stand on that promise. That's what this is talking about. That we got to stand on that promise. We got to confess that promise. God said in His Word, and it's guaranteed because He said it. But how many know we don't always receive what's guaranteed because our faith is still in seed form? It's just conceived. It hasn't grown to maturity so that when we declare it, it manifests the promise in our life. You know, this is a misconception that sometimes when I teach this, people think, well, then what you're advocating that, well, if you don't have enough faith, you can't receive your healing, or you can't receive this. To me, that's like faith comes like apples, and you got to have enough apples in your bushel before you have enough faith in order to get what you need. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you put your faith, that seed, that word has been put in your heart, just like you stick a seed in the ground, okay? But that seed, do you get mad because it's an apple seed and you can't dig it up in 2 days and pull it out and say, how come I don't have an apple? Right? We don't get mad at that. But how many people get frustrated with God? Well, God, I believed you, God, but why don't I have this promise in my life? And God's saying, maybe because you dug it up too early. Right? You didn't let it stay in the ground. You didn't let it grow. You didn't keep confessing it, even though you didn't see the fruit of the word. Guess what? Yeah, you believe, but you just have seed faith. You need to have fruit faith. Or promise faith. It needs to come to full maturity. And you got to keep at it, even when you don't see it, because it's still buried in your heart. But if you keep saying it, guess what? That's how you water the word. You keep confessing the word. You keep standing on the promises. And as you continue to do it, and you continue to do it, your faith is growing. Your faith is growing. You might even start seeing a leaf stick out somewhere now and then. You know, you might see wow, I'm feeling like I'm more confident than I once was. Okay? But then as we continue, there will come that time when it becomes fruit or the promise is a reality. Okay? And then next week is when you get to hear what you do next in order to obtain that fruit or that promise in your life, or what you do to release the gift of a gift of the Holy Spirit for someone else. Amen? All right, so come back next week for the rest of the story. Amen? And some of you are too young to understand what I just said. Or who used to say it. All right? Okay. So I want to ask you this. Are you frustrated at times, or have you been frustrated at times, because you haven't seen the fruit in your life that you wanted to see? Or you haven't received the promise that you know God has given you? Ever been there? And so what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today about that promise? Is it time to give up? I can promise you this, if you do, you will not ever see that fruit or see that promise. Because it said, we talked about it last week, we have to persevere in that word. Amen? And so no matter where you're at today, I want to encourage you in whatever God has spoken to your heart about an area you know you need to grow in, or about something that you need to receive from God to go to the place that you know He wants you to go. Maybe some of you have wanted a lot of things. Is it possible that you haven't even gone to His Word to lay hold of a promise? Is there an area where you know God wants you to grow? He didn't want you to be afraid anymore. He doesn't want you to worry anymore. He doesn't want you to doubt His love anymore. But you haven't gone to the promise book to see what He has to say about whatever issue is in your life. This is where you begin. This week, don't let the sun go down without getting in His Word and apprehending a promise. And listen, folks, sometimes you'll get something from the Holy Spirit that you can stand on. Sometimes, just like God told me, He said, go to My Word and find where it talks about My love for you. Sometimes if you need a promise, if you need a word, you got to go to the written Word, because God's already given His will about it there. And what you do is you find those promises and you begin to stand on those promises and you begin to confess those promises until they are conceived in your heart and they begin to grow. See, sometimes, again, this is about maturity. God's not just going to automatically drop a word through the Holy Spirit in your heart when the Holy Spirit has already communicated that word in the written Word. And so He's going to say, go there. Get in My Word, find out what I've said, stand on it, confess it until it's conceived, until it grows, until it matures, and until you apprehend what I've already told you you can have. I want to challenge us all. I have to believe that every one of us here today has something that we need in our life that's going to require the growth of our faith to receive it. And that's going to have to happen before you'll see the fruit of the promise. Amen? We've got to do this. No one else can do it for us. No one else can do it for us. Learn to hear the voice of God in His Word as well as through the Spirit. Amen? Amen. And if you're here this morning, the very first word that God wants any of us to hear Him say is through the voice of His Son. Jesus went to the 12. Jesus went to the multitudes. And He said this, come follow Me. If you've never met Christ as your Savior, that's the first word you're going to hear from Jesus. Come follow Me. Amen? And that word can conceive faith in your heart. But here's what God's Word says. If we'll confess that, Romans 10:9 says, if we'll confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, meaning He's in charge. He gets to lead my life. If we'll confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sin. save from eternal separation from God, which the Bible says is hell. And we will be with God forever. And everything else that we talked about today comes after that. That's the first word we will hear. And it's the first word we can respond to. If you're here this morning and you've never responded to that word, come follow me, that Jesus has said, you can do that right now. You can begin today. And if you would like to do that, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, which will be your confession of faith and receiving him into your heart. John 1:12 says, to as many as received him, he gave them the right to become the children of God, if we will believe. Amen. If that's you, pray this prayer with me this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to this earth to show us what the Father is like. You said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you laid your life down. And you accepted death on a cross. Thank you for dying for me. I believe in my heart that you did rise from the dead. And so today I confess with my mouth, you are Lord. I make you the Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, cleanse my heart, and make me a child of God today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.